One, two.
Can you hear me out of there, Gloria?
Okay.
Testing one. All right.
Welcome to our, this is our first time that we've had our 9:45 service, and we're anticipating some great things, and I know there will be more folks to filter in as we get going in our service. They're typical Baptist. We don't start right on time, but anyway, we're looking forward to this morning's first service, and as you know, most of you know, we have children's classes that have started during this time as well, for all ages, and so we're thankful that we're starting that. I think this is the first Sunday for that as well. Before we get started, I want to mention some prayer requests. We need to pray for Monroe Massey. He is at the hospital, the VA hospital, and has been, I think, since Friday, and most likely will be there until Tuesday. I talked to him this morning. And he's doing well. He's been having some serious blood pressure issues and very high blood pressure. And so pray that they're able to figure out the cause of those blood pressure issues and resolve that. Also be in prayer for Jim Freeman. He is having surgery tomorrow on his hand, carpal tunnel surgery, tomorrow at Baptist. And then also pray for Linda and Jerry Foster's neighbor. Ernest France is the name. He's having heart bypass surgery. And they have asked the church to pray for this man. Is there anyone else who has any special prayer requests we need to mention besides these? All right. Well, let's go to our Lord in time of prayer. Our Father, Lord, we are grateful, Lord, for this opportunity to study your word and to hear from Brother Tom. We're so thankful that he and Beth are here. Thank you, Lord, for the safety and travel that you've granted them. And Lord, I pray that as we study the word of God together this morning, I pray that you would speak to us as we look at some of the great Christians of the past, some of the great men of the faith in our past. Father, help us to grow from it, learn from it, and to have the same courage that they had so many years ago. And certainly we need that courage today. We need the boldness that they had today. And Lord, I pray that you bless Brother Tom as he comes in just a moment. And Lord, help us to sing from our hearts praises to you. We'll give you all the praise and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all go ahead and stand. We're going to sing. And I will introduce Brother Tom more in greater detail and just in the second service, but really for you guys here this morning, you don't need no introduction of Brother Tom Gillum. He's been here, I think this is our third year, correct, that he's been with us, and certainly has been a blessing to this church. But let's sing praises to our Lord.
Amen. Let's sing Little Is Much When God Is In It. Amen.
In the harvest field now ripening, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much it is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His home. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you
now we're going to sing a good hymn, Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides
If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. we have each time we've been here, looked at this little verse in Hebrews chapter 13. It has been a well for me the last 15 years, probably some 30 sermons come from this verse, and we'd share a couple of them with you today. Taking in consideration that this verse is laid at the back door of the Hall of Fame chapter, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." He has just finished up looking way in the past at the Old Testament saints and the foundation they laid. And he asked us to, for us, to look way in our past at the foundation that has been laid. And he asks us to consider a couple of things about them. He says, whose faith follow? He said, find out what kind of faith they had and seek to imitate it or mimic it. I'll be honest with you, the last 15 years, if I studied these people from the past, I wonder if I have any faith. I wonder very seriously if I even know their God, the God they know. I feared if they would come this morning and see how we're acting, they'd think we were all on our way to hell on a toboggan sled compared to the way they lived their life. Then he asked us this, considering the end of their conversation. Conversation is one's walk, not one's talk in the New Testament. He said, find out how they cross the finish line and seek to do likewise. And so I want to lay in a biographical sketch before you here in Sunday school and then in the morning service. Some people from the past with this question in mind. Is there any among us like these? And I'd like to lay this morning in a biographical sketch a man by the name of John Vassar. His name is spelled V-A-S-S-A-R. You say, why in the world would I want to study John Vassar? I think soon you shall know. Soon you shall know. Of course, the only reason I ever started studying these biographical sketches is that I had a lady that was homeschooling a friend of ours. She's in middle Illinois. And she went to her library. The lady was the state librarian, been there 40 years. And asked her if she could find some books on Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. And the lady librarian, been there 40 years, said she had never heard of them. She said, have you ever heard of the Great Awakening? She said, no, never heard of it. Great Awakening. First time God moved in America and swept thousands of people into the kingdom under the preaching of Jonathan Edwards. This morning we look at John Vassar. It was said at his funeral, may he be honored in America as John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, the great tinker, is honored in England. Sadly, as most things in America, it was not to be. He was forgotten. I'd like to ruffle the dusty pages of history this morning and lay a man by the name of John Vassar before us again. If you have a Bible there this morning, a little verse that seems to keep showing up in his life, Psalms 126, Psalms 126, and verse number 6, the Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Can I mention some titles of characteristics that John Vassar was given? He was called by some God's sheepdog. God's sheepdog. He had an overwhelming desire to hunt for lost lambs and bring them and introduce them to Christ. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I stick my nose in your business. I wonder if we've got any sheepdogs here. You're just constantly looking for lost people to point them to Jesus. I would imagine in this town you wouldn't have to look very far to find a lost person. Of course, in our day and age, most everybody in the United States has been saved at least once and some several times. Sheepdog. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Come again rejoicing. He was also called the apostle of evangelism. He was a coal porter. He went from door to door selling and giving away and sharing the Bible and good books and pamphlets. But especially the gospel. From Maine to Florida, from the East Coast to the West Coast, by foot, by horseback, and by boat, but the majority of the time, by foot. He was also called a man of prayer. A.J. Gordon, the great preacher of yesterday, said his callous knees produced a courageous heart. A man of prayer. Friends would often spend the night with John Vassar, hearing him praying out loud before they went to sleep, only to wake up the next morning and John Vassar was still praying out loud. He had never been to sleep. A.J. Gordon said every time he visited his house, immediately upon coming in the door, he asked A.J. Gordon, could we have a season of prayer? Before he left the house, he asked if he could have another season of prayer before leaving. Any of us like that? Just consumed with the lostness? I'm telling you this morning, America is lost. And we're the only ones that can point them to Jesus. I'm telling you, America doesn't need another Republican or a Democrat. America needs the Lord. God is the greatest enemy that America's got. It's not the pandemic. It's not the fires in California. It's God is our greatest enemy. Pointing men to Christ. The titles of his character. Can I mention the testimony of his conversion? He was born January the 13th, 1813. He died December the 6th, 1878. Not a long life, 65 years. I notice a lot of you, as well as me, have already exceeded that. And when I think about what John Vassar did in his 65 years and what I've done in my 72, I want to get under a table and said, oh, God, have mercy upon me. You're listening to me this morning. He was married at 25. His parents were very concerned when he got married because of his temper and his very foul mouth. He worked at a brickyard. One of the people there at the brickyard, concerned with his soul, asked John if he would go to a revival meeting if they would pay him. He said, absolutely. He went the first night for the pay. then returned several other nights without pay. He came home from the meeting one night and awoke his wife and said, "How can you sleep? Don't you know that your husband could go to hell tonight?" He was shook. A few nights later, he was gloriously saved. Oh, for a visitation of the Holy Ghost conviction upon the souls of people. I wonder if any of us here have a taste for Holy Ghost conviction to fall upon us, convicting sinners of their sin. Oh, maybe even riding down the street here, Holy Ghost gets so thick here at Burrell Baptist Church, they get saved riding down the road because it was so strong. Will you listen to me? Oh, may God raise up such a burden of people in this hour. Testimony of his conversion. The rest of his life after his conversion, he lived in amazing wonder of God saving his sin-sick soul. Set his whole life on fire for the souls of men. I love the way O.L. Smith said it. Someone asked O.L. Smith one day, said, "How can you endure such trials as you had been through?" Al Smith says, "I've never lost the wonder of it all." Tell you and I, the reason why we have no burden for anybody's lost soul is because we have lost the wonder of it all. That God, in His grace, would save the likes of you and I. Oh, testimony of His conversion. Can I mention also, is there any among us like John Vassar? Trials of his continuance. He caught his leg in a bridge as a young boy. It was severely broken. And being a pauper, it was never set. Rest of his life, he limped with severe pain. Can you imagine going from coast to coast, from Maine to Florida on foot, suffering such pain in search of lost souls? And you and I won't even go next door. Oh, had very little education. He was working in a brickyard at the age of 12, doing the work of a grown man. John was married 25, and in his early 30s, he had two little boys pretty close together. Cholera hit. 1847, his first son died. 1848, his second son died. 1849, his wife and his dad died. Yet, through it all, John grew in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any among us would suffer such trials, and instead of sucking our thumb, we would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not throwing in the towel, not whining because of what we're having to go through, but continuing to look for the Lord. 1850, John Vassar became a full-time missionary door-to-door with the American Tract Society. Some said he went door-to-door promoting the Bible, Baxter, and Bunyan. Door-to-door, coast-to-coast, Maine to Florida. Little New Testament in his hand, book bag over his shoulder, asking people about their souls. I wonder this morning, are there any among us that are interested in the souls of people? The girl that is waiting on you at the restaurant, do you ever think, where is she going when she dies? John Vassar was extremely burdened. Why he was so burdened, this is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this. I'm going to go way over your head. Because he had never lost the wonder of it all. That God would save the likes of him. Is there any among us like these? In 1854, he remarried. He told her before they got married. He said, our relationship can never interfere with my travels. For the first 3 months, she traveled with him. And after that, she set up homekeeping and kept the home fires burning for John Vassar. Titles of his character. Testimony. Trials. Could I mention two this morning? He's talking of Christ. It was said of John Vassar that he never had a downward look. He always had an upward look. John Vassar believed that there could be a spiritual awakening in America if people would pray and issue forth faith and shine the gospel light upon the lost of America. Not only did he believe it, he lived it. Old John Vassar was in a business one day. One of the socialite ladies was there. He struck up a conversation with her about her soul. She said, I don't believe that Bible stuff. Someone later said he wielded the sword of the Word of God like no other over her head. When he went out, her husband came in. She told her husband what he had been doing. He said to his wife, he said, if I'd have been here, I'd have told him to shut up and mind his own business. She said, if you would have been here, you could have clearly seen that he was about his own business. Are you listening to me this morning? Isn't it our business to tell other people that their house is on fire? I hear people on, I tell you, I don't discuss politics, and I don't discuss religion. If I was going to vote for Biden and I was on my way to hell, I wouldn't discuss it either. Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, I'm talking about, is there any among us like these? 1863 to 1865, John Vassar joined the Civil War as a chaplain. One fellow soldier said he ate little, he slept little, and prayed much. He said he left the imprint of his knees in every company street of that division. One soldier said, I can stand any prayers except the prayers of John Vassar. They melt my heart when I hear him pray. John Vassar was captured by the Confederate Army under the leadership of General Stuart. He was labeled a spy until General Stuart began to hear him praying and preaching for several days. General Stuart told his men to take John Vassar to the edge of the enemy lines. He said, he has promised me that he'll not speak of us for 24 hours. He said, if we don't get rid of him, he said, we're going to have a prayer meeting and a revival from here to Richmond. Any among us like this one? A.J. Gordon said John would hit them such a direct thrust of God's word before they could raise a defense against it. His wife said, his second wife, said that he witnessed all day long telling people about Jesus, confronting them about their soul. He would make a list of those people that he would talk to. And she said he would take that list and pray for them all night. Are you listening to me? Is there any among us like John Vassar? I'll be honest with you. I wonder if I even know John Vassar's God that would put such a burden in his heart for the souls of men. John Vassar said he met a man one day in a field. He said he believed he was one of the worst infidels that he had ever met after talking to him for 5 minutes. John Vassar stopped at the house, struck up a conversation with the lady, this infidel's wife. She begged Vassar if he would give her a Bible. He did. As he left, he wondered what a Bible could do with such an infidel as that man. Story was told later that the infidel come to the house. He said, "That man give you anything?" She said, "Yes, he gave me a Bible." He said that infidel took that Bible, opened it up, took his axe and chopped it half in two. He said, "You've been wanting me to share everything with you. Here's your half." Took his half and throwed it in a closet. He said that winter had one of the worst winters that they had ever had. Said the old infidel was looking for something to read to pass the time. He found his half of the Bible. Began to read the story of the prodigal son. His half ended in the hog pen. He begged her if she would let him have her half. Before he was done reading the story, he was gloriously saved. I'm telling you this morning, this book still has power to set men free from their sin. Talking of Christ, a lady heard that a strange man had come to town, knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus, questioning them about their soul. Lady told her friend, she said, "If he comes to my door, I'm going to slam the door in his face." The next day, John did. And she did as she said. She slammed the door in his face. John Vassar sat down on her front steps and in a sweet tone began to sing, "But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day." John Vassar said before he got done singing the song, she was sitting beside him on the porch, and when he finished, she said, "How can I receive my sight?" And I close with the triumphant conclusion, if you have the Bible there, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. The American Track League in 1879 made John sign an agreement that he would stay home longer periods of time. He signed it but obeyed it very little. December of 1878, he could go no further. He became bedridden. December the 6th, 1878, the family was called to the bedside. Family said they heard him faintly say, "Farewell, farewell." And a few moments later, he said, "Hallelujah." And he was gone. Ushered into the presence of Christ, probably as Daniel's book said, "He that pointeth men to Christ shall shine as the brightness of the firmament and as the stars forever." Can't help but believe in Luke 15. John Vassar is the epitome of the first two verses of that text. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, 'This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.'" Oh, John Vassar had an overwhelming desire to receive sinners. I was thinking about my dad again. My dad retired from the post office with 29 years, and for the next 35 years, he committed himself to telling other people about Jesus. He sat upon a park bench beside the Pancake House in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, 8 hours a day. Anybody sat down on that bench, he would tell them about Jesus. I remember when Daddy was dying, he had open heart surgery, had bladder cancer twice. I went down to help take care of him, keep his bank books and all that. It'd take him to the doctor a lot. I hated to go to the doctor with him. He's got to tell everybody in the office about Jesus. And he don't invite them to church. That would be fine. He said, "Where are you going when you die?" I mean, that sucks all the air out of the room. I mean, he's seeing these Arab doctors with blue dots in the middle of their forehead, red dots, and he's asked them where they're going when they die. I asked him one day, I said, "Daddy, why do you feel like you got to do that every time you come to this doctor's office?" I love what he told me. He said, "I don't want to have to come over here again." I wonder if you'd start telling your doctor about Jesus, you might get healed and not have to go over there anymore. John Vassar had no places that he needed a repeat visit. Is there any among us with such a burden, not even for the world? How about your own family? Uncles, aunts, grandparents, parents that are lost. Have you ever asked them where they're going when they die? Father, we thank you this morning for the power of the Word of God. Thank you for a life like John Vassar's. Lord, give us a burden. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Lord, if you would maybe just raise up one or two here this morning that would get a burden for the lost around them. Point them to Christ. Oh, what a blessing that would be. We thank you for the outcome of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. What a convicting message. Looking at this man, how many of y'all ever heard of John Vassar? Yeah, one. How many of y'all were convicted like I was after hearing his testimony? Every one of us should be. Every one of us. Well, we're going to take a few moments, and we have plenty of time to fellowship one with another. We have coffee making downstairs if you would like some coffee before our next service at 11 o'clock. But let's pray and ask the Lord's blessings on this next coming service. Our Father, Lord, it has been so good for us this morning to look at the past, to look at this tremendous saint of God, John Vassar, and Lord, how convicting it was to me, and I know to several, of how many times you give us the opportunity to witness and to point others to your Son Jesus, and we just do not do it. Father, if we are truly concerned for their soul, God, we certainly should. And so, Lord, I pray that in my heart and life that I would become more aware of those opportunities that you put before me. How easy it is, even for a pastor, to lose that wonder of it all and to lose the reality of not only the saving grace, but to lose the reality of where those who die will spend in eternity in a place called hell. As he said earlier, it would be absolutely wrong of us to see our neighbor's house burning and not do anything. How much more sinful it is to see those who potentially could die without Christ and not do anything. Father, the opportunity around us in this community is everywhere. And Lord, help us to have that vision. Give us the courage. Give us the words. And we ask you, Lord, to bless the next service to come. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. As I said, there is coffee downstairs if you would like it. And so enjoy.